Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Cornhusker CBB Pod, your home for all things Nebraska men's basketball. Once again, I'm your host Dylan, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about Nebraska's exhibition win against number 8 BYU, and then I will be touching on Nebraska's newest commit. At the end, once again, I'll answer some more follower-submitted questions. Now let's dive into Nebraska's 90-89 exhibition win over the number 8 preseason ranked team, the BYU Cougars. I'm going to give some brief thoughts on the beginning of the game, and then I'm going to get into my full game thoughts. Pretty typical of Nebraska teams over the past 10 years. They started very slow, which is a trend we tend to see. They only had 2 points in the first 3 minutes, and it took them a little bit of time to get going. But they were good on the defensive end, as they were forcing multiple turnovers, which was a good sight to see. I think this, although we let up 89, I think this is going to be a very well-rounded defensive team, in my opinion, after what I saw in this exhibition so far. When Sam Hoiberg checked in, you immediately saw what he's going to bring to this team, like he has in the past. He's going to be that greedy defender even for his size. He did a great job at hounding Saunders and forcing him to take some tough shots, even though he's making a couple. I'll dive a little bit more into what I thought about Sam Hoiberg's performance later in the pod. Nebraska was trailing at 4 at halftime after being up by 6 early on, so it was a 10-point swing there to have them go down at a half by 4. But they came out in the second half firing in all cylinders, and I thought they did a great job. I thought they were running really good sets and actions during the whole second half, and I thought that's really what propelled Nebraska to get up and build out that lead. So for my full game thoughts, obviously Rink Mass, what a masterful performance in his first game back after suffering that serious knee injury that made him sit out all of last year. He had 31 points, 5 rebounds, only had 3 assists, but I like how he dictated the offense when he was on the floor. Did a really good job at setting things up for our offense and just getting into the flow of the game. And he was absolutely lights out from 3-point range, shot 7 of 8 from 3. And BYU head coach Kevin Young had a pretty funny quote post-game during his presser that I'll play for you now.
Draft him first right now. I mean, the guy didn't miss a shot, it felt like. He was incredible.
AJ, you nodded when Kevin said draft him first right now. What were your impressions of Rankin?
I mean, I didn't know too much about Nebraska. And then he came out, hit like, how many threes he had? 7? It's tough. He's like 6'10", hitting 7 threes. So I would drop him first, too.
No, he was really good. You know, I mean, he's really, really big, obviously. And, you know, he got going. You know, I'm sure Fred would want him to shoot it like that every night. But we didn't adjust, and he made us pay. But he's really, you know, he's a problem out there because of those two things I just mentioned.
Asijan also poured in 20 points, 50% from 3, had 5 makes, 10 attempts. Only played 17 minutes, so being able to score 20 points in 17 minutes just showed that he's going to be that instant spark off the bench. Like I predicted, he's going to be the sixth man for this team. So just, if he can come in and score that many points, play that little, I think that's going to do wonders for this year's team. And I still think that he's the X factor for this team. I said it last year, and I'll say it again this year. If he has an extremely good season shooting the ball, scoring the ball off the bench, I think that's going to take Nebraska to a whole new level. We also saw Iowa transfer Price Sanford with 12 points, so that was a good sight to see to get his score going. He had a couple threes early go in and out, and then he started hitting some. And he's a really athletic guy for his size. I really think he's going to take a whole nother level scoring-wise this year, following being behind his brother Peyton Sanford at Iowa. I think under Hoiberg, he's just going to shoot up the ranks and be able to be a very high Big Ten scorer in the league. Tulsa transfer Jared Garcia came in. I saw a lot of promising things in his limited action he got. I think he can be a Josiah Alec type of player. Not really super flashy pickup in the portal, but he's a big body that was made to play Big Ten ball, and he can be that physical presence that Nebraska is missing without Jawan Gary. We saw him get a run out, and Jamarcus Lawrence led him with a beautiful pass, and we saw Garcia throw it down with one hand, and we also saw Garcia hit a three, so that was his 5 points right there. Another key stat on this game was Nebraska had 24 assists on 32 makes. If you're Fred Hoiberg, that's something that definitely impresses you, especially if it's just an exhibition game. Last year, with the struggling Raleigh Wooster and having to insert Nebraska as the point guard, we really struggled to get those assist numbers a lot, and oftentimes we were playing one-on-one without having Rink in there. So to see that assist number already that high in their first real action playing together, that gives me high hopes this season. DeMarcus Lawrence really showed in his year away at Rhode Island that he's ready to be that true point guard and leader that Nebraska missed last year. He had 9 assists despite only scoring 4 points, and he also led the team with 7 rebounds, which is strong from the guard position. I think we're going to be a really well rebounding team all around. We have a bunch of smaller guards that can grab rebounds, and I think just going to be a great team on their boards. I was super impressed with DeMarcus Lawrence's performance in that exhibition game. Something to note is the possible options for the fifth starter for Nebraska. Both played a little shaky in that exhibition. We had Braden Frager. He had 0 points in 20 minutes of action. He did some really nice things on the defensive end. Just needs to settle in and get a little more relaxed playing in the Big Ten, or just playing in general, because he obviously redshirted last year. I was really impressed with Frager on the offensive glass. He got multiple possessions back for Nebraska and was able to keep the ball alive. And Kendall Blue came in off the bench and had 3 points in 12 minutes. So I think he's going to be someone that's key in the rotation, but I'm not sure if he's fully slotted in that starting spot yet. I could see him coming off the bench. So Nebraska's definitely got a decision to make there on who's going to be that fifth starter, with Sanford, Lawrence, Mast, and Buchtin Joe. Another thing I really liked in this game was Nebraska did a great job of getting out and running with tempo once they got the rebound. Push it up the floor, shoot the three, go to the rim, whatever they wanted to do. They obviously scored 90 points, so they were doing a really good job of controlling the tempo of the game. And I think that's what led them to the victory, ultimately. I think that's going to be a super important part of this team this year. I think we're going to be able to slow it down and play at our own pace when we want to, with Rink Mass back dictating the offense and get into our sets and actions and be able to get some really nice looks. But I also think this team's going to be able to get the ball, run fast-paced tempo. So wherever the game's going, I think they're going to be able to slow it down, pick it back up, and just really confuse teams overall. We also saw some really good flashes by Leo Curtis in his 3 minutes of action, in his first ever collegiate action. The 7'2 big man has a nice left-handed hook shot, and he can run the floor really well. Saw him getting up and down the floor in those 3 minutes, and I thought he was staying alongside Kebakeda really well. And then as we started getting into crunch time, Sam Hoiberg checked in with 4:13 left in the game, and I was really impressed by what he did against DeBansa. Hoiberg's obviously only listed at 6 foot, and he was going up against a 6'9 forward, and I think he really did some great things down the stretch, shutting down DeBansa, getting into his body, getting low, staying in front of him, made AJ take some tough shots. Although he made some, he missed some, and I think Hoiberg's going to be a key defender down the stretch, and I think we're going to insert him into that late game lineup if needed for defense for sure. We saw Nebraska close with a lineup of Hoiberg, Lawrence, Sanford, Buchtin Joe, Mast. Wouldn't be surprised if during the season that's the closing lineup we go to. Obviously, we'll sub offense, defense, put Sejan in there for some more shooting when we're on offense, put Hoiberg back in for defense. Another thing you have to be really impressed with is Nebraska shot 16 of 34 from three-point range in this game. It's the most ever by a Fred Hoiberg-led Nebraska team. Obviously, it doesn't count because it's an exhibition, but you just got to be really impressed with that shooting effort and hope it continues at Pinnacle Bank Arena this year. So yeah, those are my thoughts on the Nebraska's big exhibition win against the number 8 BYU Cougars. Now let's get into Nebraska's latest and newest commit. So yesterday on Monday, we saw Nebraska land a commitment from 2027 6'5 small forward Ty Schlegel, who is the number 1 player out of Minnesota in the 2027 recruiting class. He's rated as a 3-star on 247 and a 4-star on the composite system. With these commits, you kind of see what Nebraska is looking for as they're recruiting these high school kids. They continue to add these bigger forwards that can shoot the ball and they're good defenders, like we have in current players Quentin Rimes, true freshman, who's a 6'6 small forward, and then also current redshirt freshman Braden Frager, who's listed at 6'7. And also in the 2026 class, we have a 6'7 commit small forward Colin Rice out of Waukee, Iowa. So that's 4 players that Nebraska have recruited out of high school. They're all 6'5 and above. So you just kind of see what they're looking for as they're recruiting these high school kids. I'm going to read you a little scouting report about Schlegel that comes from trainer and coach Spencer Christensen. Schlegel might quite honestly have the greatest on-the-court basketball IQ I've witnessed for a high school player. The aspect of his scouting report is what his entire game is built upon. His IQ feeds all other aspects of his game. Along with his understanding of the game, he also shows world-class effort, a controlled intensity, and a competitive spirit. He sees the game on both ends in a rarefied air with his decision-making, his awareness of the entire action going on and how to respond and how to place himself is special. I think he processes the decision quickly. Schlegel's versatility on both ends is quite obvious as well. He's an offensive punisher at the rim, where he does damage from, and he's also a near 33% three-point shooter, so he can't just be left open. Here are some of his defensive strengths. He has beyond elite defensive IQ and execution, is highly aware of the ball and man, and his positioning related to both. He understands his opponent's strengths and weaknesses and will guard differently from matchup to matchup. He boxes out, moves bodies, and holds his ground, gets into a bend to brace for contact, and to be ready to jump for the rebound. One of the best help defenders I've seen. He's a tactical defender that is tough to score one-on-one. Next, his offensive strengths. He turns and runs the floor instantly with a short burst up court into a steady and constant speed. Will timely crash the offensive glass, and he comes up with a high percentage of offensive rebounds off the rim for putbacks. He runs the floor well and wisely. He will turn on the jets when necessary in a full sprint, and will also run smoothly to space the floor for the transition break. He's a high-level and efficient scorer at the rim in a transition setting. He values the basketball and offensive possession as a ball handler and passer. He can make blind skip passes from wing to opposite wing / corner wing, and he has a lethal rebound and push up the court game where he immediately busts straight up court and rifles a push-ahead pass to a moving teammate. He brings a professionalism and seriousness about him, and that's why him being a top-ranked prospect and staying at the top has some weight for sure. Now let's talk about Nebraska's second exhibition game against Midland University. Nebraska picked up a pretty dominant win against Midland in their second exhibition game with a final score of 91-50. The first half was pretty sloppy. They weren't making a ton of threes, so it was pretty close. Still had to maintain a 20-point lead at half, but it didn't look like a super well-oiled machine at that point in the first half. Second half, they came out starting to fire threes, beginning to build up that lead pretty nicely. Just going to briefly talk about some points that I liked in that Midland victory. Braden Frager didn't score a single point in that BYU exhibition game, but he came out looking like a totally different person. Scored 21 points, all of them three-pointers and some free throws. Shot and made 6 three-pointers out of 12. In the second half, he really just picked it up and he made like 4 in the span of 3 minutes. Once again, Kendall Blue came off the bench, didn't really have a stellar offensive performance, but he did have 5 assists, which is really nice to see that he's probably going to come off the bench in the regular season and he can handle that point guard role very well. We also saw Price Sanford pick up where he left off in that BYU game. He made 4 threes out of 7 attempts, totaling up to 18 points. Mass didn't play a whole ton tonight. Obviously, you want to keep that workload low, especially in a meaningless exhibition game against Midland. 13 minutes for 8 points. Then I also really liked what I saw from forward Jared Garcia coming off the bench, scoring 10 points, grabbing 5 rebounds. Thought he played extremely well in his 15 minutes. We also got to get in a bunch of those young guys. We saw Will Cooper play, Justin Bolus, Quentin Rimes, Leo Curtis, all got some run, so that was very nice to see. We also saw Oogie get in there. He missed the BYU game with a back injury, so it was nice to see him back in that lineup for the Midland game, and he's expected to be ready for the regular season opener, so I'm very excited for that. Now, once again, I'm going to answer some more follower-submitted questions. Up first, do you think Blue cracks the starting lineup, or do they stick with Kale or someone else? Previously, I've been adamant that Blue was going to start, but I'm not so sure about that anymore. I actually think Braden Frager is probably going to get that spot. We saw Sam Hoiberg start in the Midland exhibition game in that spot, but I think during the regular season, Frager is going to get that spot moving forward. I already just touched on this, but why didn't Oogie play in the BYU game? He was nursing a back injury that he missed some time during practice, so they just obviously held him out for precautionary reasons. He only got 8 minutes in that Midland game, so they're once again trying to keep his workload low until they get into this regular season. Haven't heard much of late, but hopefully he's fully good to go to the regular season. If not, he'll probably be on a little bit of a minutes restriction to start the season, which shouldn't be a big deal overall. And lastly, last question, is Leo going to get playing time this year? Honestly, to me, it's really up in the air. I could definitely see them going the redshirt route, similar to Braden Frager. Sit him out a year so he can learn everything, get in the weight room, come back next year with 4 years to go. But I also could see them playing him right away because we are pretty thin in the front court, although we have Mass, who's going to probably get around 30 minutes per game. But if an injury strikes, I definitely think if he's going to play in the redshirt, we're definitely going to pull that red shirt and get him on the floor as soon as possible. So yeah, if you want your question answered or thoughts read on the podcast, follow me on Instagram and X, both at CornhuskerCBB. I'll be doing some X spaces following certain games this season, so be ready for those. So I really encourage you to go follow that Twitter page, Twitter X page, turn on some post notifications there so you can tune into the spaces. And I'm definitely going to have some of y'all jump on the space and talk some Husker hoops with me. I'm excited for that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast episode about my breakdown of Nebraska's two exhibition games. Nebraska officially kicks off their 2025-26 season next Monday, November 3rd, against West Georgia at Pinnacle Bank Arena. If you got some tickets, definitely hit up the game. Be loud. Just super excited to get the season underway in the sixth season in the Fred Hoiberg era of Nebraska ball. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast episode about my breakdown of Nebraska's two exhibition games. In the next episode, I'm excited to welcome my first guest to the pod, my good friend Ollie, where we will talk about the regular season opener and some throwback Nebraska ball memories. Stay tuned. Go Big Red.